Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
We're turning to the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to look, first of all, by reading three verses, verses 11 and 12, and then verse 16. Verse 11 of Acts 3 reads, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's," a porch in the temple, "greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk?" Then, in verse 16, he explains how the man was healed, and his name, that's Christ's name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We're continuing our study of Peter's sermon that followed the healing of the man, a most miraculous healing and a most wonderful sermon. And you'll not be surprised that I am taking my time looking at the sermon, being a preacher myself, and admiring how Peter took that opportunity to really press home the gospel. There's so much for a preacher to learn here, never mind boys and girls. There's so much to learn from what Peter said and how he said it. Now, the lame man's healing raised quite a stir in the temple. There were hundreds and hundreds of people, and I would say we have to go into the thousands of people who were gathered as a result of this man's healing to hear Peter's explanation. You see, as we read, as we began our study on chapter 3, this man was led at the temple gate every day, and it would have been a scene that people going into the temple every day would have noticed. And even if you only went to the temple once a week, or even once a month, this man had been set there for years probably, because he was lame from his mother's womb, from the time he was born. So all his life, they probably had been gathering him up and carrying him to the temple gate and laying him down there for people to, well, I would say, certainly to pray for him, but also to throw him some little token of sympathy, some money. He was begging at the gate. That's the only way he could live. So for him to be healed was a most miraculous thing. A most miraculous thing. And his shouts of joy and his leaping about, all of which would have astounded the people. And then he was holding on to Peter and John, indicating, these two men have been the source of my healing. And all this commotion would have attracted many to come and see what was going on. Now, last week we considered the point that the first thing Peter did when he began to speak, seeing the people, and they were all wondering. So, as a preacher, he immediately said, I've got to answer. I've got to explain to these people what it is that has happened. And the first thing he did was to tell the people, it's nothing to do with John or my power. We didn't heal this man. It was the Lord. It was the Lord healed him. That's the first thing he did. We had 3 points under that heading, only two of which I was able to deal with. And I'm going to deal with the third point this morning as the Lord helps me. And the point I want to deal with this morning is this. The praise of this man serves as a reminder to us all that we should be aware of God's mercy and goodness to us. I was noticing as we were singing the hymn and thinking to myself, How many of you in singing the words of this hymn are in the least aware of God's mercy to you? You know, even if you're not saved this morning, God has granted you mercy every day, every day. If someone out there commits a crime and the police come on him, what do? They arrest him. They take him to the police station. They charge him with the crime. They hold him there until the court deals with him. And all this takes place immediately. They discover the crime. But God does not act like that. He doesn't immediately lay hold on the criminal. And if you're not saved today, you have sinned against God, but he hasn't judged you. He could have. You deserved judgment. And if you have not run to Christ for safety and salvation, you're under the judgment of God. It's over your head, but God in mercy doesn't let judgment fall on you. So even if you're not saved this morning, you're enjoying God's mercy. Do you realize that? And for that reason, you ought to thank God and praise him. This man realized God had had great mercy on him, and he's praising the Lord. And he's going into the temple to do just that. You know, in heaven, boys and girls. And I gave you verses to look up in Revelation chapter 4, the verses 8 to 11. The chapter 5, verses 8 to 14, the chapter 7, 9 to 12. These are all verses that allow us to listen into heaven. And in heaven, they're taken up with praising God. They're not ignorant in heaven of the mercy of God, but understanding it, as only those in heaven can understand it, they're breaking forth continually in praise. They're overjoyed. Here on earth, there's little thought of God or his kindness. Even among Christians who owe him their praise. Yet we're so slow to praise the Lord. We're so slow to praise the Lord. Now, we're moving on then this morning, having touched upon the third point that I wanted to deal with last week. We're moving on now to the emphasis that Peter lays in his sermon upon the healing of this lame man. Because having the people all gathered together, interested in how it is this man has been healed, Peter wants to deal with something very important. Basically, he says, this man has been healed by the power of the one you crucified. That's what he said. You know, as a preacher, I stand back and I admire Peter. I learn from Peter that this is what a preacher has to do. Press home upon men and women the guilt that rests upon their heads because of their rejection of Christ. Look at what it says in the verse 13. Basically, Peter's starting a sermon. Look at verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, whom you people gathered here at the temple have come to supposedly worship. This God hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And I read that this morning before I came down. I realized Peter was saying, even ungodly Pilate had a better opinion of Jesus Christ than you people had. He wanted to let him go, but you insisted on him being crucified. And God showed his opinion of the Lord Jesus by raising him from the dead. So this people were out of step with an ungodly man, a heathen man like Pilate, who had more understanding of who Jesus was than they, the chosen people of Israel. And they were out of step utterly with God, who raised the one they killed from the dead. This is the emphasis then in the sermon preached by Peter. This was a most important matter to be dealt with. The first thing he deals with is the guilt of the people to whom he was speaking. And boys and girls, I want to emphasize to you your guilt. Now, there might be mommies and daddies who might listen into this study, for we do put the recording of it out, and they might be saying, oh dear, imagine telling wee boys and girls that they're guilty. Imagine that. There might be mommies and daddies who feel that. But I want to tell you, God doesn't feel that. God wants you to know you're guilty. The very first teacher in this school, who was my wife for a long number of years, and in some cases here is your granny, or great-granny, when she was nearly five, probably younger than you are today, all of you, God convinced her of her sinfulness. And after she struggled with that and tried to put it out of her head, she finally was brought to a place. She was not yet five to ask God to save her. She became aware of her sinfulness. And listen to me, you'll never get to heaven until you first of all realize you're a sinner and then face up to that before God and ask for his pardon. And here is Peter pressing upon this people their great guilt at rejecting the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to tell you that Peter didn't do this out of a spiteful attitude. He wasn't being angry and bitter towards the people because of what they had done. No! In telling them of their guilt, he was acting in mercy and acting in love, just as a doctor who has a patient before him and he on examination has discovered that they're very sick. He's acting in love and concern when he tells them, you're very sick. You need treatment right away. That's an act of caring and concern for the patient. And Peter was acting out of a love for the people when he told them their guilt and their sin. You see, we can never get to heaven, boys and girls, until the matter of our sins are dealt with. Until we see how dreadful and how sinful and guilty we are before God. Until we see that, we'll never get to heaven. For you'll never take any steps to obey the gospel. Many times in my lifetime, in speaking directly to individuals, maybe out with others, distributing gospel leaflets, and you get a chance to speak to someone, many times people have said to me, but I'm all right. I'm all right. They don't see their sin. Don't realize they're sinners, condemned by God. That's very foolish. If I might return to that illustration about the doctor telling a patient they're sick. If the patient got up and said, oh, you're wrong, doctor, I'm all right. I feel all right. Wouldn't that be silly? Well, how much more silly it is to ignore what God tells us in his word with regards our sin. The Lord Jesus, you know, when he began his ministry, his first words were, Matthew chapter 4, the verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Now, why would they need to repent? Because they were sinful. Those are the very first words the Savior uttered. Repent and believe. He told them their need and he told them the answer. Boys and girls, that's what you need to hear. That's the first thing you've got to learn about God. What he says about you. Are you listening? Oh, I want you to listen. Because if you don't listen to what I'm telling you, which is what God wants you to hear, you'll never get to heaven. Exposing sin is a vital part of the gospel. And it's that part that the world particularly hates. None of us like to be told we're sinners. Mark 9:31. He taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Why was it that men wanted to kill the Lord Jesus? Because he told them they were sinners under the judgment of God and would never go to heaven, but go to hell if they didn't get saved. Solomon said, there is no man that sinneth not. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46. And that must be pressed home. That must be pressed home. In Romans, in the verse 23 of chapter 3, you have the famous words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what God says about each one of us here today, and that's why we need to be saved. Now, in dealing with this matter of their sin, Peter didn't pull any punches. Do you know what that means? Well, I'll tell you. Pulling a punch is what someone might do when they're boxing, and they're throwing punches as hard as they can against their opponent. But if they stop their fist hitting that person with full power, just stop short of their chin, that's pulling a punch. That's not delivering with full force the punch, but stopping it and only lightly touching the person. That's what it means to pull a punch. And Peter didn't do that. He hit them with the full truth of the gospel. And he says that, and we read the verses 13 to 15, and he tells them how they had denied the Lord Jesus, how they had killed him in the most cruel fashion, crucifixion, how they had chosen a murderer. He pressed that home upon them. You know, preachers are oftentimes tempted when they're in the pulpit and they're dealing with sin and they look down and they see someone and they, I know that person is engaged in this particular sin, and so I'll not stress this sin and not make a great deal about this sin. I'll pull my punch and not hit them the way I should. Preachers are tempted to do that. In fact, they're more than tempted. And oftentimes they give in to that temptation. But that wasn't the case with Peter. He set before the people their full guilt. Their full guilt. He didn't soft pedal. He didn't hold back. But he told them the full truth. This is how God's faithful servants preach. And many of them suffered death because of that. And very few of them ever escaped persecution for doing that. And that's still the case today. If a preacher preaches the whole truth with all the power God gives him, there'll be plenty of people go out of the service muttering and murmuring against him and saying evil things about him. Peter was most explicit. Most explicit. Boys and girls, sin is a serious matter. It's going to stop you getting to heaven if it's not cleansed away from your heart by the mercy of God. I mentioned the doctor and how he must at times face you with the truth if you're not well. Well, as we read the Bible, the Lord Jesus and those who were faithful to him and proclaimed the same truth were very explicit in what has to be done. For you older ones, let me tell you, the gospel requires you to die. That's why you don't like the gospel. Because the gospel demands that you die. Die to your own sinful desires and ambitions. Die to the world and live only for God. The world doesn't like that. I can remember the first moment God convicted me and I knew that I had to be converted. But as I thought on that, I said to myself, that means I have to stop doing the things I'm doing at the moment that I love to do. My old heart loves these things. And I couldn't do that. And I said no to the Lord at that moment. No, I can't die to myself. I can't die to the world. I love the world. I love sin. I can't have the gospel. I can't have Jesus Christ. But as soon as I said that, my heart was smitten with fear. For I knew that at that moment, turning my back on God, I could be cast into hell at any time. And in fear I turned again to the Lord and I fell on my knees and I asked God to save me. And I didn't care about the world anymore, because I saw that the world was going to damn me, but Jesus Christ would save me and take me to heaven. So I turned my back on the world and I embraced the Lord Jesus as my Savior. That's over 60 years ago. I never, never, never made a better decision. It's one you will have to make if you're ever to get to heaven.
Let us bow in prayer.
O God, our Heavenly Father, have mercy today upon the boys and girls, especially any who are not yet saved. And may this be the day like that when Peter was preaching and many, many realized their lost state and asked God for salvation. Lord, may that be the case here today among those who are not yet saved, and encourage any who are saved to recognize what God would have them do in their lives. And may they know what it is to die unto all that is against God and live for all that is of God. Bless the school, we pray. Bless the school, pupils and teachers, parents at home, and all who are friends of this little place, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.